Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight and turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. It's been a couple weeks since we've been in the book of Romans, but the last time we were there, we finished up chapter 1. And if you remember what we studied in chapter 1, the last part of it, the last few verses of chapter 1, Paul paints a pretty graphic picture of folks that who God had revealed himself to in nature and in their conscience, but who rejected both. They rejected the revelation that God gave in nature. They rejected the revelation that God gave to their conscience. And so we read in those last few verses that God gave them up. He gave them up to those that rejected him. He gave them up to their own lust. And again, in those last few verses, Paul was pretty specific about the wickedness and the sin that man gets into when God gives them up and leaves them to work within their own, the lust of the flesh, the lust of their spirit. Now, Paul knew that there'd be a whole group of people who on the outside were not participating in any of those sins, that when he came across in his list of their wickedness, that these folks would stand back and say, "Amen, amen, preach it, brother." They could see the wickedness in people's lives. They heard Paul talk about it. And these people would stand back and egg him on by saying amen, would clap their hands and say, "Hey, you're right on. These wicked heathen people need to hear this message from God." Well, because Paul knew that that's what would happen, and because he knew that just because you look good on the outside doesn't mean you're good on the inside, he comes across in chapter 2 and he says, you better be careful about judging the sins of other people because the sins of the heart, the sins of the spirit in God's sight are just as wrong and are just as sinful as the ones that people see on the outside. Now again, he's building up in we know, because we know the verses, we know in chapter 3 that he's going to say, there is none righteous, no, not one. We know he's going to say in chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so in the first part of chapter 2, and we're going to do the first 16 verses tonight, if we can get through it. In the first part of chapter 2, he's going to deal with those people that we might classify moral. Those people we might, when we look on what they do on the outside, we might classify as righteous, because they're not involved in the things that we read about at the end of chapter 1. And so Paul addresses these folks as he starts in chapter 2 when he says there in verse 1, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever that thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." What he's saying is, now, be careful about judging these people, again, people that are living immoral lives, because you do the same things. Now, they weren't doing the same things on the outside because they wouldn't be classified as moral if they were doing the same things on the outside. But again, I would remind you, it's taught over and over in the Bible, God doesn't just look on the outside. God looks on the inside. The moral man may not commit adultery, but the question is, does he lust? Jesus said, there's no difference. There's no difference. The moral man may not steal, but does he covet? Jesus says there's no difference. The moral man may not commit murder, but does he hate? Jesus again said there's no difference. And Paul says there in verse 2, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." God always judges according to truth. He always judges according to the facts. The people that look good on the outside but may be rotten on the inside try to hide the truth from other people, and we can do a pretty good job of it. I mean, we can live our life in such a way that people look at us and say, hey, that's a pretty good guy. That's a moral person. But God always sees what's going on the inside. He knows our thoughts. He knows what's going on in our heart and in our mind. And when he judges, his judgment is based on those, on that truth, on those facts. Verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? What Paul's saying in those two verses is, now look, since God is going to judge based on fact, since he is going to judge based on the truth, it's foolish to think that if you're not doing it on the outside, but you're doing it on the inside, that you're going to get away with it. Because God knows the truth. And he's going to judge based on that truth. And if we in our heart do the same things that these people are doing in their lives, then we're going to face the same judgment of God that they are. Because here's what Paul says. When we judge others and we don't judge ourselves, I mean, when we don't admit our own sins, our own shortcomings, Paul says we despise God's goodness or his kindness, his forbearance, his tolerance of other people, his long-suffering, his patience. And Paul says God gives everybody those things, his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering, to give people an opportunity to repent. You see, God's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that those that live their life in outward wickedness should perish any more than those that live their outward life in a good way but on the inside are rotten. He's not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if we judge others and not ourselves, if we fool ourselves, if we take pride in ourselves and say, you know, like the rich man did, and when it came into the temple with the publican. You remember the publican stood over in the corner and he wouldn't even lift up his head, but the Pharisee stood there and prayed, God, I think I'm not like these other people. I don't do this. I don't do this. I do this. I do this. I don't do the things I shouldn't do. I do the things that I should do. And the publican stood over in the corner and said, Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. The truth is, all of us are sinners. All of us should have that same attitude. Doesn't matter if our sins are on the outside or on the inside, God sees them all. And when he judges, he's going to judge the truth as he sees it. And if we're not careful and we don't judge ourselves, what will happen in verse 5 will happen to us. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In other words, if we're not careful and we judge others and never judge ourselves, never look at the mirror, never see our own sins. Again, they may not be the outward sins, but the inward sins. God says pretty soon your heart's going to get hardened. Pretty soon you won't realize that you need to repent, and you'll treasure up or stockpile the wrath of God, because he will punish sin. And there'll come a day when, you know, we'll either stand before the white throne of judgment and be judged according to our sins, or we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and as Christians, and we'll talk about that in a few verses, and be judged for our works. But God will judge the truth. He will judge what's going on the outside as well as what's going on the inside. And verse 6 says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And again, we talk about the great white throne judgment. At that judgment, salvation is not the issue. If you're saved, you won't stand in the great white throne judgment. Only the lost people will stand there. And as they stand there, their punishment will be meted out for their deeds. The more wicked they are, the more punishment they get. You say, preacher, I thought they're going to go to hell. How worse can it get than that? Well, there's degrees of hell. There are degrees of punishment in hell. And depending how wicked a lost person, I mean, it's going to be bad enough to go to hell, and we should want to avoid hell at any cost. I mean, only a fool would want to go to hell. Only somebody that has ignored this book and ignored the warnings of God and ignored the warnings of people. And again, I've heard people say, and I just want to slap them sometimes. You witness to them, they say, well, I want to go to hell where all my friends are. They don't realize they're not going to know any of their friends in hell. The torment's going to be so great, there won't be any fellowship in hell. One of the things about hell is that you feel all alone. I mean, there's no fellowship in hell. And to say that you're going to go there with all your friends, you're dreaming. You're not even going to know they're going to be there. And you're going to hurt so much that you won't fellowship with them anyway. God will render to every man according to his deeds. If they live a wicked life, their judgment will be piled on by God. And then those that stand before the judgment seat of Christ, again, salvation is not the issue there because only saved people will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They will not be judged according to their sin, but they will be judged according to their deeds. And God will pass out rewards according to what we do after we're saved. Have we lived the kind of life that he wants us to live? Have we done the things that he wants us to do? But he will give to every man according to his deeds. Verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Now, the patient continuance in well-doing doesn't mean that we're saved by what we do. Paul is not talking about a works salvation here. Some people read this verse and they think, well, here it is. The Bible says right here, patient continuance in well-doing, that's how you get immortality. That's how you get eternal life. Again, take all the writings of Paul. Take every book that he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Put them all together. There is no way that any reasonable person can read what Paul wrote and think you can work your way to heaven. What Paul's talking about in verse 7 there is an eternal truth that's taught throughout the Bible that obedience to God is good in every age. Remember in the book of Genesis, when Cain brought the fruit of the ground as an offering to God, and God rejected it because he had taught Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and the people that were there that day, he taught them that the sacrifice they needed to bring was a blood sacrifice. Again, even back in the book of Genesis, he was painting the picture of the sacrifice that Jesus was going to be for us. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Well, when Cain brought his fruit to God and God rejected it, here's what God said. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? What he was telling Cain, if you are obedient to me, if you bring the blood sacrifice, I'll accept you. In Cain's day, that was patient continuance in well-doing. It was being obedient to what God told them. And if you read Genesis chapter 4 closely, God says, hey, there's a lamb outside the door. All you got to go out and do is get it, offer it to me, and I'll accept you. I mean, there's a way that you'll be accepted. But Cain disobeyed God. He rejected the sacrifice. Today, in the age of grace, doing well, patient continuous in well-doing, is placing our faith in Jesus Christ. That's being obedient to God. When he tells us in his word that it's through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on Calvary, that's the only way that you can get immortality. That's the only way that you can get eternal life. And patience continuous in well-doing today is people placing their trust in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8 and 9. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. So God said, now look, I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you immortality. I will give you glory and honor if you are obedient, if you do well. Again, in our day, in the day of grace, doing well is trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. But if you are contentious, in other words, if you want to contend against God, and if you want to be disobedient to God, and disobedient to the gospel, and disobedient to receiving Christ, to admitting that you're a sinner, and there's nothing that you can do to save yourself, and coming to Jesus Christ and receiving Him and what He did on Calvary. If you are obedient to the gospel and obey that righteousness, good. But if not, then indignation and wrath will come upon you. Both of those words mean anger. Indignation means anger that's justified. Wrath is just means anger. Tribulation, affliction, anguish, distress. All of those things, if you are disobedient, if you want to fight with God, if you want to contend with God, if you want to be disobedient to what He says that well-doing is today, then He says, you're going to be judged. And I'll pour out my wrath. I'll pour out tribulation. I'll pour out anguish. They all come from God. They'll end up in people spending eternity in hell. And He says, that will come on every person that doeth evil, that rejects Christ. He said, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Just like the gospel was presented to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, so the promise of punishment to the unrighteous, to those that disobey God, so that promise is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So verse 10 is the opposite of verses 8 and 9. If you obey God, if you don't fight God's way, if you do it God's way, then, and again, he talks about it, that worketh good. Again, worketh good is not doing good works. It's being obedient to God. It's approaching God the way He says to approach. Then he says, I will give glory and honor and peace, peace with God, to every man that worketh good. Again, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. Again, this is an eternal truth. When God dishes out condemnation and punishment, He doesn't do it with any partiality. When He deals with salvation and redemption, He does it without any partiality. There is no favoritism with God. There's not a group of people that have an advantage with God. At the foot of the cross, the ground is even. Everybody approaches God the same way. Everybody has to come to God the same way. That phrase, respect of person, means lifting up the face. God does not look at anybody's face and judge one person different than another. He is impartial. He shows partiality to no one. And again, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Greek. What matters, are you going to be obedient to God? Are you going to be obedient to the gospel? Are you going to be obedient to doing good? Again, not good works, but doing good in receiving Jesus Christ. And so it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter what kind of background you come from. God doesn't show partiality. He doesn't favor one person over the other. One person doesn't have an advantage over the other. We all approach God the same way through Jesus Christ and what He did for us on Calvary. Now, look at verses 12 and 13. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Sin leads to punishment. Sin leads to separation from God. Sin leads to hell. It doesn't matter if we're in the law or out of the law. in the law. Paul's talking to the Jews. They had the law. They had the Old Testament. The Gentiles did not. They did not have the law. And so whether we're in the law or out of the law, it doesn't make any difference. If you sin, the price will be paid. There's a price for sin. And it's not just hearing the law or having the law that makes a difference. Again, the Jews thought they had an advantage. Say, well, we're God's people. We have the law. We have the oracles of God. And God said, well, you have them, but you haven't listened to them. You haven't heeded them. The law was given so that people know they're sinners. We're not saved by keeping the law because nobody can. There's only been one person that's ever kept the law completely, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody else has broken the law and will be judged by the law. It doesn't matter that we've had it or if we've heard it. Have we done it? And again, Paul's not preaching a work salvation. The law was given to show that we're sinners, that we need to come to a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior. So obeying the law is realizing we're a sinner and coming to the Savior. That's what he's talking about. And so it doesn't matter if you're a Jew and had the law, or you're a Gentile and didn't have the law. It's not having the law or hearing the law. It's doing the law. It's letting the law convict you of your sin and coming to Christ. He says here in the last part of verse 13, but the doers of the law shall be justified. The doers, those that come to Jesus Christ, will appear before God because what? Because Jesus paid the price for their sins, justified, just as if they've never sinned. We are dressed in the, when we get saved, we are dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When he looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. We're still sinners. We're still sinners. But we are dressed in his righteousness. And he sees the righteousness of Christ, and we're justified. Now look at the last three verses, 14 through 16. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now again, the Gentiles didn't have the law. But as we talked about in chapter 1, the things of God were revealed to them by nature. They could look at the created, the universe. They could look at the earth and everything that was in it. They could look at the heavens and everything that were in it and know there was a God. Their conscience bore witness that there was a God. They may not have had the Old Testament, they may not have the law, but they had the revelation that God gave them. And if, like we talked about, if they responded to that revelation, if they knew that there was a God, that there was somebody that they needed to be accountable for, then God would get them more revelation. He would help them see Jesus Christ. He would help them see what Jesus did for them. He would help them come to the Savior. And so when it says there, the work of the law written in their hearts, that's what it's talking about. They didn't have the law, but they saw that there was a God in nature. They saw there was a God in their conscience. Their conscience bore witness that there was a God. Now, they could either respond to that and say, yes, I know there's a God. I know that I've come short. I know that I am guilty of sin, and therefore I need a Savior. So they could either bear witness or else they could excuse one another and say, well, I'm not a sinner. I may have the revelation from God. I may have nature and I may have my conscience. But even people that have the law excuse themselves. Even people that have the law don't let the guilt lead them to repentance. Don't let the guilt and the fact that they've fallen short of the God that they know exists, they excuse themselves and never admit that they're a sinner. And again, you've heard me say many, many times from this place and other places in this building, it's hard to get somebody, it's almost impossible to get somebody saved until you get them lost. It's impossible to bring people to Jesus Christ until they realize they're a sinner, apart from God, condemned to be separated from him forever. And Paul says, there's a day coming where either men will have seen their sin and repented and been obedient to the gospel, my gospel, according to Jesus Christ, or they will reject it. They will be disobedient. They will excuse themselves. They will try to cover up their sins and not admit them. But in that day that God will judge, there's no secrets. It says there in verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, there will be no secrets at that judgment. Because again, God not only sees what's on the outside, he knows what goes on the inside. And so he says, be careful. Be careful. Be careful when you judge somebody. Make sure that you're not excusing yourself by not looking at what's going on in your own life. And there's many, many people say, well, I don't do any of that stuff that we read about in chapter 1. I live a clean life. That's wonderful. That's good. But what's going on in your heart? What's going on in your mind? What's going on in your spirit? Paul would say, in God's sight, the sins that are going on the inside that nobody else can see but God are still going to be judged by God. Still going to be judged by him. And we're going to be accountable to him for them. Just like the people that live their life on the outside have no respect of God, if we live our life on the inside with no respect of God, we're going to stand before the same judge. And again, there's no partiality. God will judge every man according to his deeds. His deeds. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Be safe as you go home. Keep these that we've mentioned in prayer the next couple days. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.